are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, November the 16th, and I don't even have to feign interest this week. Things are actually happening. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com. Check it out. A Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to reset what this week is going to look like. A big week for the NBA, a big week obviously for the Detroit Pistons franchise as well. I'm going to christen you guys with my Big Board 5.0. I'm done with big boards after today. I'm excited to kind of wash my hands of this one, the final big board, unless something crazy happens before Wednesday's draft. And Brian, a little bit later on, is going to be looking at a player who didn't make the Locked On Pistons listener big board, not in the top 18 there, though he's certainly in my top 18, maybe even my top 10, and kind of always has been, despite a slide here in the experts' view in these last several months. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account, and check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. Give contributor of the show, Brian Shook, my big brother, a follow at bshook12, and also give the Play Michigan Twitter account, Play_Michigan, give that a follow as well. We are over 500 followers, and that makes the bosses happy. Always good to make the bosses happy. But welcome to NBA offseason week. We've got trades. We've got the draft. We've got free agency. We've got players picking up their options. All of it will be coming fast and furious. Just so you know, a little peek behind the curtain, we are planning 6 episodes this week. We're going to be talking free agency on tomorrow's show, maybe a mock draft on Wednesday, instant episode Wednesday night after the Pistons make their first selection in the draft. We assume at number 7, but who knows when that selection is made. So shortly, maybe within the hour after that first pick, we'll release an episode with me and Brian reacting to that first pick. Then Thursday, we'll kind of reset after the draft with our thoughts for more on Thursday night. Then I'm guessing by Friday, like, all hell will be breaking loose. 6 o'clock, free agency opens. We might even do another weekend show if something goes down. We'll have Fridays with Brian. All sorts of good stuff. I'm blogging the draft on DebtNews.com. Be sure to check that one out as well. We've already got some news late Sunday night. I believe it was James in The Athletic that reported first. Not going to check. But Tony Snell picked up the $12.2 million player option for the final year of his contract with the Pistons, as we knew he would the day that the Pistons acquired him in a trade from the Milwaukee Bucks. But, man, around the league, trades are coming. Noon today, trades can be consummated, but we know with NBA stuff, a lot of stuff gets out before the starting lines for some of this stuff. And on Sunday, early on in the afternoon, maybe late morning, some news broke about a deal that's going to be coming today, and that's Dennis Schroeder to the Los Angeles Lakers from Oklahoma City for Danny Green and the number 28 pick. I believe both of them salary matching. I know Danny Green is due for $15 million this year. Schroeder's probably somewhere around there as well. To me, that signals that the Lakers all along wanted, going into next season, a Derrick Rose type. We know that Rajon Rondo, probably a little bit of a duplication there. So indications are that he's going to hit the open market as a free agent. Schroeder is very comparable to Derrick Rose today, obviously a younger version, maybe a little bit more reliable in terms of the injury front. Certainly Derrick Rose is older and has a little bit of the injury baggage there, and Derrick Rose is certainly not a long-term solution for LA, whereas Dennis Schroeder sounds like they're going to try to lock him up to a long-term deal. So Schroeder is more valuable than Derrick Rose. Of course, I'm not saying that he isn't, but I wonder if a similar deal for Rose would have been in the cards. Obviously, like I said, Schroeder's better, but the fact that Derrick Rose makes about half as much as Dennis Schroeder on the contract, maybe that is something that could have enticed the Lakers a little bit more. Now, Lakers aren't really a team that's too concerned about money, believe it or not. The Pistons could have taken Danny Green's extra $7.5 million or so, the difference between Derrick Rose and Danny Green's money, into their cap space, and it could have freed up a little bit of money for Lakers. But again, this isn't a team that's going to have cap space, so you're just talking about luxury tax money at this point, and it's less important to a contender and a cash cow like the LA Lakers, even though we're looking at the pandemic here. So maybe the Pistons could have taken a little bit of a lesser package in terms of a trade for Derrick Rose. Maybe you take JaVale and Quinn Cook or something like that off their hands, and then maybe 28 can still be included there. So we'll never know, but it kind of verifies to me that a move for a Derrick Rose type was something that the Lakers could have been interested in. But again, they end up with a younger player, they end up with a better player, and they end up with someone that they think is a realistic part of their future going forward, depending on how things shake down next summer when some more players will be available. But maybe they will see how the 1 year of Dennis Schroeder experiment goes, or maybe they lock him up to a long-term deal this offseason. But I got some more, you know, thoughts and takes here. First of all, we got the restrictions coming this week in Michigan, as Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced on Sunday evening. I'm just looking at that December 22nd start for basketball, and as COVID looms, as these next couple weeks might be something akin to what we dealt with, and kind of not only physically and emotionally and mentally and spiritually dealt with during the March, April, and May months when things were really bad here in the state of Michigan. I have my doubts over the December 22nd start. I'm not going to sit here and speculate on how COVID's going to go or what the restrictions are going to go. I'm not going to be out here screaming about opinions about COVID. I think we have enough of them out there. I will say, do follow the law and do follow the restrictions and wear a mask. I mean, I think we can all agree on those three things, although maybe there are some steps in the legislative process or in Lansing that can be done if you're on that side. But anyway, let's move on from there. Rumors out there, as you know, as are with the trades coming today, again, noon moratorium being lifted. Chris Paul to Phoenix was out there at the end of last week. I don't really have much of a take about that, but the one take I'm sure you guys have been waiting for, Russell Westbrook. He is out there. He says he wants to be traded. If you listen to this podcast, you know how I feel about Russell Westbrook. He's kind of the anti build your team around him, especially at his advanced age right now and deteriorating skills. You know what you're going to get from him every playoff season. You know he's going to put up huge counting numbers if put into that situation where he's dominating the ball, which is what he wants, which is seemingly the reason that he's asking for a trade. He was tired of being not in the spotlight so much. I've heard deals where people are thrown out there where maybe Derrick Rose or Tony Snell goes to Houston and the Pistons take Westbrook into space, basically the extent of their $30 million of cap space. Or if you package Rose and Snell, maybe that's only $10 million of that space that gets taken up. The logic seems to be with that kind of suggestion that the Pistons suck and are uninteresting, and maybe Tom Gores is hemorrhaging money and the season ticket holders or the season ticket requests aren't coming in. Obviously, there's not going to be fans for the most part, probably all season in downtown Detroit anyway. But, you know, maybe you might as well try that. Drum up some interest with this team. My counter is you hired Troy Weaver to build something. Instead, let's do it the hard way, do it the right way, make it sustainable. I think we're mostly on board with this. I used to be this guy who, even when Russell Westbrook was winning MVP 3 years ago and was one of the top five players in the league before that when he was teamed with Kevin Durant, I was kind of on my island where you don't want that guy on your team at that point. You certainly do want that kind of talent on your team. I was just being a little ornery back then. But now I feel like with the time that has happened and obviously the salary cap number, the contract that he's got left, which is 41, 44, 47 for the next 3 years, unbelievable amount of money for a guy whose best days are behind him and not the leader that you want on your franchise. And I think that most people are with me these days in that. So feel great about that, to be on the right side of history with the Russell Westbrook argument right now. So I'm very against this. I don't think Houston is going to part with any extra assets of any kind of substantial value to get rid of Russell Westbrook. They don't have a lot to begin with. The Pistons shouldn't do that deal unless they're getting some serious assets, So that's the disconnect that you're going to have ultimately at the bargaining table. I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't think it should, especially from the Pistons' perspective. Wanted to get that on the record, wanted to get that on the on note here at the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the NBA draft, it's just a couple days away now, and the Locked On NBA podcast is mock drafting every first-round pick. I made my pick at number 7. We talked about it last week, but go ahead and download those episodes. Catch up on all the players that you want to hear about. The analysis is out there. Listen to the Locked On NBA podcast every day leading up to the draft to hear projections of each pick and expert analysis from Chad Ford, The Athletic's John Hollinger, and Sports Illustrated's Jeremy Wu. Check the feed to catch up on past shows and don't miss a pick. Subscribe to Locked On NBA today wherever you get your podcast. Up next, my final big board 5.0. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, got to tell you guys about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar ever. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than the past ones. I'm upset because I think they tried to deliver them on Saturday. I wasn't here, and now hopefully they come as early in the week as possible. The 6 new flavors of Built Bar: caramel brownie, caramel, I don't know, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake. Sometimes I don't know very easy words that most people know. But anyway, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, the 12 OGs as well, flavors like German chocolate, toffee almond, great stuff. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They are soft and easy to chew. Also, Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. They're great for the keto diet, wherever kind of low-carb diet you're going for. They will fit those macros just for you. Cookies and cream, they got 17 grams of protein in that bad boy. Not going to get you out of ketosis. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams of net carbs. I guess with that sugar, maybe it does. I'm not a doctor. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Yes, sir!
All right, I hope you've been listening to the Fridays with Brian episodes, not only because we're the best comic duo since Abbott and Costello, but we also have a cool contest that we've been doing the last couple of Fridays. What it is, the last 2 Fridays would be the ones that you want to check out. Brian does a better job of outlining the details of the contest. But long story short, listen to the last 2 Fridays, and Brian has a clue in the episodes, kind of a footnote to find, and he gives a clue about one of the draft prospects that he's been profiling over these last few weeks. So there are clues that you can go back and listen to all the draft profiles, as you should be doing anyway, or you can maybe Google around, a little bit of an end around, and find out who the clue is describing in those players. So the first 2 are already out there, and then the 3rd one is coming this Friday. When you find out who those 3 players are, you watch the draft on Wednesday and see what their draft position is, those 3 players, you add those 3 numbers together, and you DM after Friday, this weekend starting, where you can enter into that, DM that number to the Locked On Pistons Twitter account on Twitter, and we will randomly select out of the winners a number, the winner, and then whoever that is will get a new jersey of the Pistons' first draft pick on Wednesday, and we'll get your information there so you can be the first to have the new fit. If it's LaMelo Ball, Onyeka Okongwu, Tyrese Haliburton, Tyrese Maxey, whoever the Tyrese you prefer, maybe just Tyrese, the old R&B singer, Avdija Hayes. I mean, we could go on and on. And we will go on and on right now. So that's the contest. Check it out. Get in touch with me if you had any more questions about the contest, or Brian would do a better job of describing it too. Let's move on. Big Board 5.0. This is the final one that I'm throwing out there for you guys. Not a lot of changes since last time, but I wanted to put it on the record so a year from now you can be like, you idiot, you had this guy and you didn't have this guy. We always love hearing from you guys taunting us about the draft takes. I'm pretty proud of myself. I've had a draft take that I've kind of stuck with throughout this whole process. I've had stayed away from certain guys at the top of these boards, and feeling pretty good about where we're at here. Only about month 14 into talking about these guys for these past several weeks and months and years, it seems like, during the pandemic. Thanks to everyone for sticking with us so much during the pandemic too. I know we got some new listeners. I hope you're enjoying the content, but we did some fun stuff over these past several months, and maybe you want to go back and check it out as we descent into madness over these last several months. But without further ado, my number 1 on Big Board 5.0, the last one that I plan on doing before Wednesday's draft. That's right, Onyeka Okongwu, surprise, surprise, he stayed at number one, although I did consider booting him at some points. But for my top seven, which is what I'm revealing today, I've also got some four kind of also-rans that I'm going to throw out there too. My top seven breaks down to the first tier being a three-man tier, then the number four being a one-man tier by himself, and then number tier three being another three-man tier, five, six, and seven. So top tier one, Onyeka Okongwu leads it. Anthony Edwards, number two. James Wiseman, number three. I do see the all-star potential with those guys. I don't love either of them, but in this draft, the all-star potential is enough for me to consider taking that swing. Tier two, a man by himself at number four. Not quite on that Anthony Edwards, James Wiseman tier, but a fairly solid player that I can see fitting into the culture and becoming a quasi-leader with this Detroit Pistons franchise is Tyrese Haliburton, a guy that I've had as high as two on my big boards, but have bumped him down a little bit, recognizing at the end of the day that the Wiseman and Edwards types really do hold a little bit more value than a guy like Haliburton who could be like a role player in the NBA going forward. So moving down to the next tier, this is where I've kind of was between five and six and really struggling to find that right one. But tier three begins with number five. I went with Denny Avdija, actually, ahead of the next player. So the Israeli swingman fits the need for the Pistons. Low grade star quality or low grade star potential. It's out there. It's not a huge amount of potential, but, you know, it could be a very good player in the NBA. Number six, right below Denny Avdija, is Killian Hayes. I know he's beloved by Pistons Twitter, so I was convinced to get him in at number six, fully onto my big board, but certainly not someone who I'm really excited about as much as some of you guys out there. Number seven, I was going to be the take man and bump this guy off, but I will put him at number seven. So LaMelo Ball is number seven on my list. Are you happy LaMelo Ball stands? I put him at number seven. If the top six flies off the board and Ball's there at seven, sure, take him. Why not? Let's do it. Let's get weird. The guys who just missed my big board 5.0, there's four of them. And one of, I'll say that the two of them are like just off, and then two more that I just felt like needed some consideration for various reasons. So the two that were just off, and this is in order, is I would say Isaac Okoro and Patrick Williams. Patrick Williams, you've heard the name out there. James at The Athletic, Jonathan Givney at ESPN.com, Chad Ford on the Chad Ford's big board. This is out there. The LA Times, I believe, was the first to report that there's even possibly a promise made from the Pistons to Patrick Williams at seven. Teams might be trying to get in front of the Pistons, manipulate it to get up to six and get Atlanta's pick and pick Patrick Williams ahead. He's a guy who we've talked about quite a bit. We'll probably talk some more before Wednesday because of all this heat behind the Pistons and Patrick Williams. I will say this. Here's my hot take on Patrick Williams. I don't hate the pick, but my hot take is that if the Pistons, if all they do on draft night is sit at number seven and draft Patrick Williams and don't trade into the bottom of the first round, don't trade into the second round, and then take a player that I like at one of those picks, I'm not going to say that's a horrible failure for Troy Weaver, but it's a bad night. That is a bad draft night if you take that rising prospect, and if he is rising, I don't know. Maybe the Detroit Pistons are just the only ones infatuated with him. A bench player from Florida State who underwhelmed in an underwhelming year of college basketball. Again, this is a very good team he was on in Florida State, maybe the one seed in the ACC tournament, a team that was probably going to get a high seed in the NCAA tournament. Maybe they could have made a run, and we'd all be talking about Patrick Williams as whatever. But it harkens back to Marvin Williams, who was a toolsy freshman on the North Carolina team, basically came off the bench for them all season and became, I believe, the number two pick in that draft over Deron Williams and Chris Paul. Obviously a huge disaster, although Williams has had a fine career as a role player, Marvin Williams anyway. So to me, that's like what Patrick Williams is, obviously to a lower degree and a lesser extent. Nothing to be too excited about. Not going to hate it, not going to throw my computer down to Woodward Avenue, but just not going to be too happy. If you're going to take Patrick Williams, if that's the move at number seven, then dazzle me with a separate move on draft night to make me excited about the Troy Weaver era. So I got Patrick Williams and Isaac Okoro. Okoro first, Williams next, as just off the big board. And then I just got to give some mention to Tyrese Maxey, who I've liked all along. And if the Pistons trade down to 10 or 14 and they end up with Maxey, I would be a happy man about that. And then Kyra Lewis, mostly in reverence to Brother Brian and all the help he's given to us. But yes, it has seeped through to me that I like Kyra Lewis as well. And if we're talking 13, 14, maybe even 10, Kyra Lewis would certainly be a fine pick for the Pistons there. Devin Vassell, pretty much fallen off of my radar. I'm not really a Vassell guy. Cole Anthony, same. Aaron Nesmith, same. Just not really all into those guys as much as maybe I was at a time or two during the preparation for this draft. But up next, a draft prospect who I've talked about today, I'm excited about, at a lower level than number 7, someone who I think is going to have a fine NBA career. Brian's going to tell us all about him as the also-rans for the Locked On Pistons podcast listener big board. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day.
A couple of months ago, host Matt Shook asked you listeners to submit your top 7 big board for the Pistons in the 2020 NBA draft. And after you guys did, there were 18 names that were submitted. Now, we finished profiling those players, but in the time since the lists were submitted, a few players have garnered some interest, and we figured it was worth looking into in case the Pistons trade down or pick up some more picks. So today we look at Tyrese Maxey, a 20-year-old, 6'3", 200-pound point guard. From Dallas, Texas, Maxey was a 3-year starter at South Garland High School in Garland, Texas. He scored over 20 points per game in all 3 of those seasons, and he also added over 6 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals per game while becoming a prep standout. While in high school, the list of accolades Maxey received was long and distinguished, and included the 2018 University Interscholastic League All-State team, a 2-time Texas Association of Basketball Coaches All-Region pick, 2018 Dallas Morning News Sports Day Player of the Year, 2018 USA Today All-Texas First Team, 2018 Texas Association of Basketball Coaches All-State First Team, Dallas-Fort Worth Area Player of the Year in 2019, the Naismith High School Boys 2019 All-America Second Team, and was the 2019 Mr. Basketball in Texas and was a McDonald's All-American selection. He also won a gold medal for Team USA in the 2018 FIBA Under 18 America's Championship. A 5-star recruit, he decided to play for Coach John Calipari at the University of Kentucky. In his 1 year at Kentucky, he was named to the SEC All-Freshman Team and the All-SEC Second Team while scoring 14 points, grabbing 4 rebounds, and dishing out 3 assists per game. Tyrese tells ESPN's Mike Schmitz what people should know about him and his game.
I like to have fun on the court. Basketball is fun. I'm blessed to, you know, be here. And I'm going to go out there and have fun every single time. I mean, win, lose, or draw. Playing basketball is fun, and I like being out there with my friends.
Maxey has a good, strong frame, and while the numbers may not mat it out as much, he has the potential to be a plus scorer at the point guard position. He has good footwork and a nice shooting motion, so while the shooting percentages may leave something to be desired, he could become a threat from outside in the league with some good coaching. He certainly doesn't lack confidence in his shot or his range. He has a very good jab step or shot off a few pace dribbles that if he could improve his consistency in that shot, it would go a long way to help his offensive game. His jab step is so effective because he uses good body positioning to get to the lane and has good quickness, and with his upper body strength can play through contact and finish at the rim, and he seemingly has endless energy and a very high motor. But his shot selection is suspect, and although he has good upper body strength, he could add a little mass to be able to use it as a weapon as opposed to not a liability. And being a point guard, his passes tend to drift and pull teammates out of position rather than passing them into it. But Maxey is a stopper on the defensive end, as his footwork and ability to play through screens make him a good player to help defend some of the better guards in the league. He defends the all-important pick and roll better than most prospects, as he can fight through them or get skinny and slide above them without fouling. There is a wide spray on mock drafts with Maxey. Some are very high on him and have him in the mid to bottom of the lottery, but his ceiling to me isn't as high as other point guards in this draft. I think it would be a stretch for the Pistons to look at him at number 7, but if they trade down to the bottom of the lottery, he should be a candidate that they take a long look at. A good comparison I saw was George Hill. Thanks for listening, and we will be back with the next installment when we look at guard Tyrell Terry.
The great Tyrese Maxey and the great brother Brian with the draft profile here. Look, I think that Kentucky players are tough to read in college. Tyrese Maxey was in a backcourt with Ashton Hagans and Emmanuel Quickly, right? Guys that might be drafted on Wednesday themselves, probably more like second round draft picks there. But those are similar type of players. Those are NBA prospects. It's hard to sort that all out on the fly. A lot of you guys are freshmen. I think Hagans was a sophomore, and just, I don't know. That's a difficult proposition to try to evaluate where some of these guys will be and what some of these guys are, given that you had similar sized guys. Maxey had to take the best defensive assignment. Quickly is a shooter, a scorer, a guy who's going to light it up. Hagans is more of a traditional point guard. So where does, you know, Maxey kind of fit into that? I think that we've seen with Tyler Hero this year, the unremarkable college season at Kentucky turns into a very good pro, fulfills the promise of the McDonald's All-American type of stuff that these guys that all go to Kentucky end up having. Tyrese Maxey was the top of that list this year, and I just think that the way that Quickly and Hagans and Maxey divvied things up might be a little bit awkward and might end up hurting his draft stock somewhat artificially. So that's where I'm at with Tyrese Maxey. I like him a little bit more than most. But that'll do it for today's show. We've got plenty more this week. You know that. I'm your host, Matt Shook. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Hollinger and Duncan. Have a great day. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.